Hello and welcome to the next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So Graham, today we have a multi-talented guest. 40 years in the construction industry and now a leading light in the personal development industry.
You've just aged, Kevin. That's so rude of you. I mean, crikey, couldn't you have just said
you're younger than us,
plenty
Graham.
Of years or something like that? But we've got Anne McNeil on the show. I mean, we should have like things, fireworks going off. She's a big thing. Anne, welcome to the next 100 Days podcast.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to share my experience in this industry and of personal development and really adding value. So I'm excited. I am excited.
I am as well. I my daughter-in-law, she's Brazilian, and she's a lovely girl. And she's the family disappointment because she's an architect. And basically, the rest of them are all dentists or doctors. And you know, she's not only a disappointment to us, but in any way whatsoever. But it's just that construction, I mean, it's what defines the way in which we see the world, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But it's construction as relates to the inner work we do before we do the outer work. Absolutely.
Oh, I see. So it's not the construction industry. It's
No. Yes, let's be clear. I am a licensed general contractor and I own a construction business as the first Black female contractor in my state of Florida, operating at the level that I do, focusing on billion-dollar programs, not million-dollar projects. So, yes, I am a professional in the business of construction.
Wow.
And we have between 30 plus or minus individuals that work with us, providing project control support for major engineering and construction firms.
So if we went to Miami, would you be, that building's mine.
Yes.
That one over, that's how you would do it. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned Miami because in Miami, we have worked on the majority of the flagship projects in Miami from Miami International Airport. Been there since 43 years I've been at the airport, the seaport, over 50 schools in the county. We've also worked on the Marlins Stadium, the Marlins Garage, the American Airlines Arena, and most of the flagship projects in Miami we've worked on.
Wow. I mean, Kevin, I can see you're like Pavlov's dog. I mean, you'll be salivating over the success that Anne's brought.
You remember that fantastic television program? You had Don Johnson driving around Miami in his Ferrari. So I'm imagining that just all those buildings in the background, they were all built by Anne.
Some of them. I think Donald had a few, didn't he? I mean, he's put one or two up in Florida as well, but. I don't know whether or not he's done anything in Miami, but the point is, what a wonderful career. I mean, you've literally dealt with just about, it says here on your website, Coca-Cola, State Farm, Chase, HSBC, AARP. Is that something to do with pensions? I don't know, AARP. I've no idea who they are. I mean, they could be anybody, but it's probably an acronym for something or other, Kevin.
Probably is, yeah.
We don't have that in the UK. Hilton, we do. They once poisoned me. it's just one of those. I hope they're listening. But we had a sort of company do, and driving home, but it was awful. I had a couple of hours of sheer pain. Anyway, by and by. But otherwise, Hilton's quite a nice company. But the thing is, you've dealt with them all, Anne.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why, as a certified Napoleon Hill coach, when I read this book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, December 31st, 1979, as I begin to look at the success that I'm having, I begin to focus more on the personal development that's required to own 5 businesses and teach that to my clients. So again, coming back to being a builder of buildings, but I'm also a builder of lives and communities.
She's dealing with two amateurs, Kevin, but she's steering us in the right direction there. She's given us the If AI is listening to this, it's just going to be it's going to be a work of art by the end of the podcast. But Anne, you help people develop their selves, I guess, so that they can go out and build more buildings, or so they can be build more, I don't know, strength in the companies they're working at.
Yes, Graham, this is what I believe. I believe that if you build a person, the person can build a business and a life if it's their choice, right? So often we want to build businesses, but we don't build the interpersonal skills that are required to build a successful business or life.
So okay, this sounds really intriguing. I mean, Kevin helps people when it comes to things like their financial skills. People turn up at my door for marketing skills and the stuff that I do, sometimes AI. But basically, what you're doing is you're helping people become better at, well, I don't know, they must have some skill to get across your door threshold. So when they turn and present to you, what's wrong with them?
Well, again, and I'll go to another book and just publish this book called You Must Have a Dream to Have a Dream Come True. It starts with that. For me, that's where it started for me, having a dream of having a better quality of life, but in every area of my life. That has been the journey since 1979 when I picked up the first book. And so what I find when my clients come to me, I want to know, first off, how much money do you want? Oftentimes we don't know that. And that was what my journey is. So all I'm doing with my clients, coaching and consulting clients, coaching individuals and consulting with organizations, and they each want more money. But how much do you want? So let's start there, right?
Do they, like you said, they don't have an answer to that, do they?
Well, I didn't have an answer. When I read Think and Grow Rich, first chapter, the author asked me, he said, Ann McNeil, I made it personal. He said, Ann McNeil, how much money do you want? I just kept reading. And then the second question he asked me was, what are you going to do? Provide some kind of product or service to make the money. I had a good corporate job. I just kept reading. But when I got to the third question and the fourth, he said, by what date do you want the money by? This is December 31st, 1979, 9 p.m. Yes, I marked the date in the sand. And I started going back on the book. I said, you know what? Let me answer the question. And I have been in that book ever since 1979, every week, 5 businesses later, helping thousands of individuals all over the world with just that journey. If we're clear on how much you want, what are you going to sell, some kind of product or service? By what date do you want the money by? Now, where's your plan of action? For me, it took me 5 or 10 years to come up with a plan because I had to get out of debt, right? Now, again, for me, that's where it started. And once I started my first mastermind group, which also comes out of the book, a chapter, and we held each other accountable, and then we started helping other people do the same thing, develop and start successful mastermind groups, but for the life. See, we can talk about masterminding for the business and making money, but we mastermind for the life. We mastermind in the area of spiritual, family, financial, health, education, personal development, the business or career, the recreation, creativity, and civic. But we also set goals for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And right now I'm in my 44th year. And so that is what we teach.
Yeah, but
So
Kevin's good
44
on
years
goals, aren't
old.
you, Kevin?
Sorry.
Well, I was just saying you're good on goals, Kevin. That's your thing.
Good on goals. Yeah. And in fact, I'm going through a process of renewing my own at the moment. But
Excellent.
44 years down that journey,
Yes,
you
sir.
must have set all those goals now.
Pardon me?
You must have set all those goals now. You must have accomplished them all.
Well, this is what happens. This is what happens. We must always reset the goals. It's a journey, it's not a destination. It's a journey, it's not a destination. And I think that that might be one of the misnomers and think we're gonna arrive at some destination and we're okay. No, because if that dream does not continue to pull you up even when we began to learn how to earn, and then you take that and then you teach other people how to do the same thing, and you help create systems and processes, it never ends.
Yeah, but I get that. But there's a point. There's a purpose in setting a deadline or setting a date by which you want this to work.
Absolutely.
If they got a sniff that, oh well, I'll kind of get halfway there and bounce it down the road another 5 years, it's not so much of a deadline then, is it? It's not so much of a drive for you to make things happen, because towards that goal, you'd think sometimes it would get more almost exponential, the sort of success you're having. Because you've got to get something by a certain time, and so you're probably even more active. I don't know. I mean, am
Well,
I
Graham, you're
touching on?
absolutely right. No, Graham,
Yeah.
you're absolutely right. That's why we set short-term goals, because we want to feel the achievement of hitting the goal, right?
Yeah.
So we set the short-term goals, and short-term goals for many of us is day-to-day. But the day-to-day goal should be tied to some kind of long-term goal. So then the steps and the strategies by which we get there are the incremental daily tasks and to-dos that we do, right? But if we're not clear that once we hit that short-term goal, that there should be a longer goal, at least a year. And from that long-term goal, there should be a longer goal, 2 to 5 years.
But how many, almost 10 years ago, Kevin came up with this name that we've named the podcast. I think he got it on the back of a lucky bag. I mean, it wasn't his work. He's clearly not creative enough to come up with the next 100 days. But somebody must have helped him, a consultant, or maybe he had an early sight of ChatGPT or something. But the point is, anyway, the thing is, 10 years ago, we came up with this idea of the next 100 days, and we saw it as a bit of a planning thing. Kevin's better explaining this, but basically, the end of the day, 100 days is just a, it's sort of 90 days at 3 months. And a little bit of extra time for pre-planning, post-planning, all that kind of stuff. And you think, okay, well, that's smart, because can people really see beyond 100 days? Yeah, I want to be in this big house, but whatever. Or I want to grow a big company that's got 30 employees or whatever. Whatever your goal is. For us, it's always been about what can I get done? What is realistic to get done over the next 100 days? So we have wonderful guests, and one of the questions that we ask every now and again is, how can somebody take what you're talking about and apply it to their lives, so that at the end of 100 days or within that period, they'll have made a big difference? Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. It makes lots of sense. And when you think about, what is the end goal and then working it backwards. And I love the idea of 90 days, because 90 days, 2 or 3 times, will get you into, a few months, if you will, and to continue to reset that, because we can see 90 days. And I think that through your podcast, you continue to reveal the strategies that have been able to help improve the lives and businesses of your listeners, and you're doing an excellent job with that. And so for us, in terms of the 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, again, like I said, it starts with breaking it down to a weekly goal for us, and you can add that up into, the 90. But having accountability too, I think, is important with that.
And I totally agree with you, Anne. I started off with that idea that I took Graham the next 100 days. It wasn't 90 days because I'm an accountant, and there's so many things in the finance world get done by quarters.
Yes.
I wanted
Yes.
something that said, well, hang on, I've got this problem. How am I going to sort it out in the next 100 days? The next 100 days starts today, because I've got a problem, I want to sort it. It doesn't start on the 1st of April, the 1st of July, or whatever those dates are. It says, let's get on with it and sort it today. And it's round, so I looked at a lot of consulting projects that I'd done and said, a typical consulting project is about 90, 100 days. And then you, by the time you've done that, you've got to look back and you've got to refresh and think again. And there's a certain time scale as well. Like you can plan on what you know today. Great, you can have a vision of where you want to be in 5 years' time. But things have got a habit of happening in the intervening period that you would never, ever have thought about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think you make an excellent point in a comment you made that I read that said change doesn't end after the 100 days, right? Especially the first 100 or even the second. And when you think about many of the major publicly traded corporations, they report quarterly earnings.
Yeah.
Quarterly earnings is 90 days,
Yeah, that's right.
but then they have 4 quarters, to get to that year. But then even after that year, they go year over year, right? And
Yeah,
so I think it's an excellent idea.
I don't personally, I don't, I see this as a catalyst show in a sense that we get brilliant people on. I mean, you're just the latest example. You look remarkable. You take fantastic photographs. And you must have been a model in your in days gone by, but you do. You've got an a, you've got you just look at your photos and you just think, I wish I could have one like that. And that's what it. And I'm looking at one of you now. Sadly, you're wearing red, but we've talked about that. But the you know maybe if you get a yellow, white, and blue one, I think that would be just a bit better. But beyond that, you've got something called a master life with Anne McNeil. Now in that. You're talking about, first of all, connecting with you. So, all right, we want you. Then you've got to commit to making the changes that will change your life. Now, without forgetting the previous conversation, for me, the next 100 days is the kickstart, the kickoff, as I think the Americans call them in sales parlance. But basically, it's all right. Today's today, as Kevin said. Right, what are you going to get done? And that gets your momentum. That moves you forward positively. Now, what you're saying here is commit to making the change that will change your life. How do you help? There are other things that you do, but how do you help somebody do that?
Well, first for me, I also start with an assessment that I've created because life, their life, there's so many different parts of the life. Professionally, I tend to start with the money, going back to how much money you want. And the reason I start there and helping my clients is because if they only desire a small amount of money, the change and the growth can be small and the effort can be small. But if they're looking in long term to make lots of money, then that is going to require probably a lot more, no, definitely a lot more work and planning to execute to actually achieve that goal. And again, as a contractor by profession, it really depends for me if we're in the same industry or not. But I have, a process that we go through. A framework that we go through to help people get there.
Okay, we're not asking you to reveal everything, but you're sat down and presumably you do these things. Well, I don't know. Some of your clients are all over the shop, so basically, do you use Zoom quite a lot? Is that what you do, or do you actually go and visit them?
Well, it depends. It depends. We use the virtual lots more now. I think with AI and Zoom and Teams and Meets and all of these different platforms that we can, have clients anywhere in the world now because we're all in a virtual world. But one of my businesses is called the International Mastermind Association. We actually physically come together once a year in
Oh, wow.
January, first or second weekend in January every year.
Are you a bit like Dan Kennedy? It's got to be Cleveland, or you can hike. I mean, he only wants to get out of his front door then and go to the hotel. But do you get them all into Miami? Because I would imagine that's a fairly nice place to go anyway.
It's actually Boca Raton, and you just mentioned one of my favorites. Dan Kennedy is one of my favorites,
Me too.
but yes. It's actually in Boca Raton. It is in Florida. It's in Boca Raton in January, and next year, 2026, it would be the 9th and 10th of January.
Okay, all right. And sorry, forgive me. I've been to Florida fairly recently, but Boca Raton. What? singles that out. Is it by the coast? Is it a seaside town?
It is near the coast. It's not actually on the coast. It's near transit,
Right.
and people can get from the airport, and the hotel will pick them up. And so it's an awesome, awesome
Right.
property.
So well, and coming to Florida is fantastic anyway. I mean, all those alligators and God knows whatever else you've got there. But I found it, and actually, I on my trip there, I actually bumped almost literally bumped into Dan Kennedy. I didn't realize he was so tall. I mean, I'm not very tall, but he was kind of coming out of this lift or elevator, as you would say, and virtually almost had to apologize for almost bumping into him. But remarkable fella, and I've got a lot of his books and try to sort of live up to that. But however, the one that I really like, Anne, is and I have an intern, and I was trying to explain to her about marketing, and one of the little things I took away from Dan Kennedy was the triangle, and where you've got the three M's of marketing. And I just said, well, this is a really easy way of understanding marketing. So you put a little M in the middle, and you've got a triangle, and at the top there, you can start with anything, but let's just say the market that you're going for, and then you kind of got the message. What's your offer? What's the thing you're going to say to that market? And then you've got the other part of the triangle, and that's the medium or the media. And so you basically, how am I going to get that message to that market? What are you going to say to them? The three M's. And if somebody doesn't get marketing, my experience has always been, so the next time round, and the next time my intern comes to join us, I'll be testing. She doesn't know this, but I'll be testing her on that. So it drops in, because I think it's something that really does. And there's lots of other things you can learn about marketing, but I think that is a very, very succinct way of saying what marketing is at this sort of high level. And I got that from Dan Kennedy, so good for him.
Yeah.
You'll probably think I'm just making that up, but no, I'm pretty sure.
No. I sit on the board for the National Speakers Association, and that is, marketing the message to the right audience. It is key to an individual's success, but it comes back to having the skill set and the mindset. When you asked earlier about my clients, and oftentimes our clients want to jump into whatever it is they want to jump into quickly, and we're not speaking to the right people with the right message when you talk about marketing. Absolutely.
Certainly in my life, there's a lot of concentration on the, some people call it the ideal customer profile, and sort of identifying exactly what they want, because I provide people data, so I have to try and get that right, to give them a chance of success. So there is that side of it, but then things like the value proposition. So one of the chaps that I follow now, and I spend a lot of time with him, is Flint McLaughlin, or Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who's been doing a remarkable set of work in the last 30, 40 years to figure out why people say yes. So if you're on a website, he spent his better part of the last 30 years figuring out why people say yes. And so it's all about conversion, and we're doing some interesting things with him at the moment in AI. But that's another story, and that's about me and not about you, Anne. And you're here and you're our guest. And I have to say, you obviously help people a lot. You've got a lot of clients. People say some really nice things about your success with them. If you said to yourself, oh, sorry, if one of those people was sat right next to you and said, okay, what is Anne like? What do you think they're really going to? I know what you've put on your website, but what do you think they'd really say about you?
Would probably say they would say that I have a servant's heart and spirit.
Did you just say servant?
Yes.
Ah, that's interesting. That's
Yes,
interesting.
sir. Yes.
Yeah, I respect that, because we should all be like that, especially to others,
Absolutely.
because it should come back to us. It's those people who perhaps don't act that way that get you go. But Kevin's like that. He just expects me to do everything what he wants, don't you, Kevin?
Of course I do, Graham. Of course I do. Yes.
You have to leave your microphone on, Kevin. It's a podcast.
I was just checking something back on Anne's website, and
Ah. Right.
My microphone, so I could just go back and check it because I've got that brilliant question there for Anne in a minute.
Always does this. He has a better question than me. He'll go and do some research and come out with this fantastic question. Go on, Kevin.
Was going back to something I looked at earlier on Anne's website, and there's something that she's got in a section of keynote speeches, Anne, that you'll do. One that took my attention, and we've been talking about up to now. You ask the question, how much money do you want? Okay, what products and services are you going to have that are going to get you there? But one of your keynotes, Anne, is what will you do at 92? Now, for
Yes,
a couple of individuals like Graham and I, who are at the twilight part of our business career, shall we say, that might be something that we ought to be considering. So what's that all about? What will you do at 92?
Well, what happened, the story behind that, I, in my early 30s, as a contractor, I had won a project here in Miami, a museum that was going to take place in Key Biscayne, and I had to go before a board, a commission to get their vote. And so I stood in line to speak with the chair of the committee. And when I got to her and I asked for an appointment, she started flipping through her calendar day after day after day. She went to the second mall, and my eyes are widening. I'm thinking, I need an appointment like now. And so she got to the end of the second month, and as she was getting ready to give me a time, she looked at the day and she looked at the staff, and she made this statement. She said, "Excuse me, I see we have a meeting scheduled on, say, October 1st. It's my 92nd birthday, and I will not be here." I'm standing in front of her, she's sitting, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not 50 yet, and I've done nothing, comparatively speaking, with my life. Here she is, she was the first Black politician in the state of Florida, and I could go on, and she was an entrepreneur, and I could on in these different things. And I'm shocked. She's 92 next, turning 92 that particular year. And I have not even reached 50 yet. And I'm having this inner body experience, and she finally gave me a time. I sat down, and I just started thinking about my life. What will I do at 92? Now, this is the beginning of the story. The following day, this changed everything for me. The following day, in our community, in the Black community, and for those of your listeners that can relate to this, on the first of the month, many of our Black that receive government assistance are standing in line at the bank because the government has just deposited their money, or they got their check and they need to deposit it in the bank. So I go to the bank and forgot that it's the first of the month, and the bank line is so long, I'm standing right at the door, 15 deep. So I have a book in my hand and my handbag, and I pull my book out, which I always do, and I just read a page or two. And the lady behind me said, "Ma'am, would you move up?" So I move up a little bit. My head is in, the book, and she said, "Ma'am, will you move up again?" I move up, and the third time, I won't use the curse word, but she cursed me. I'm in the neighborhood, okay? Don't judge me. I'm in the neighborhood, and so she asked me to move up again. When I moved up this time, and I get chills every time I share this story, and I have a keynote around this. When I moved up the third time, I looked down, and the feet in front of the person in front of me, I said, "Oh my goodness, those looked like the kind of shoes," the lady's name was Miss Range, "that Miss Range was wearing, a 92-year-old." And as I looked up and I leaned over, it was Miss Range in line. one person in front of me. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is she doing in a bank line at 92? And then I said to myself, what am I doing at a bank line? Now, the reason I share this story and the reason I write about this is because that one moment in time shifted everything for me about looking forward to 92. And I began to think about what do people do at 92? Where do they go? How do they exercise? How do they eat? What kind of business? And I became a Rotarian. And I began to look at Rotary, for example, International, many of the people in the 90s and 80s and 70s. I'm in my 70s, but I wasn't then. I was 40, almost 30 years ago. But my point in coming to answer your question is that one moment in time encouraged me to think forward in my life and make decisions while I was early enough from investing $20 a month. I'm financially free from what I eat, how I travel, where, I mean, all of those goals that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, the 60, 90, 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. That was almost 30 years ago. And so that keynote has changed so many lives because when you're younger, you don't realize the benefit and value of a $20 bill invested over 20, 30, 40 years. It's not what we make, it's what we do with what we make. So those are just some thoughts about what happens when you think about what will you do at 92.
Wow.
So what do you see yourself doing at 92?
Oh my goodness, I'm starting to do it now. And that is serve, volunteer. I'm active in Rotary. I've started two not-for-profits, International Mastermind Association, certified with the Napoleon Foundation, have coached over 1,000 people with that. I'm also the founder of the National Association for Black Women in Construction, where my goal is to create two new chapters at cities per year. And I think I'm at 22 right now. So at 92, what I envision when I look back to now, I'm envisioning having two international nonprofit organizations impacting the lives of my industry in terms of construction for people who look like me, and also the International Mastermind Association utilizing the book Think and Grow Rich with the principles of success that anybody can achieve their dreams and goals and desires. And having impacted thousands of lives with that philosophy by creating hundreds of mastermind groups that are free for family and friends. That's what I see at 92.
So, do you ever see a point at which you would have retired in the formal sense of the word?
Oh, this is what it looks like. This is the face of retirement right now. And for me, what retirement looks like is doing what you want, when you want, where you want, as long as you want, with whomever you want, and money is not a factor. I just came off of a 6-month world cruise in June, well, in June of this year. Travel the world, 72 ports all over the world. And so again, what does retirement look like for each of us? And so I think it's different for different things. For me, this is I'm actually in my office at MCO Construction, and I have a team of people here. But again, and this is my first day here, I think in a week or two, I came just for you for the podcast. And so this is the face of retirement for me.
You, first of all, thank you for coming, going into the office to meet us. But I have to say, your story was it's an interesting. It creates a picture in your mind, and I think that's really important when it comes to stories that you can relate to that. I want to pick up on the you talk about you're helping people who look like you. I don't
Yes.
got a different skin color, but the point is, you're helping just black people or not?
No, of course not.
No,
Of
well,
course.
I kind of seen some of the testimonials, and so you can't tell because some of them's black and white. You can't tell, and actually, who cares? I mean, but you do actually, because you want to raise up the level of people in the black community, and I get that, completely get that, and I want that too, but it's that we're all in need of help, I mean, Kevin needs it more than me, I've got to say, but I mean,
Ah, that's always been the case, Graham. Yeah.
But
but
Graham, let me clarify something for you. When I made the statement, I'm mostly talking about construction. You see, when I
okay.
said the
Okay.
construction association that I created, I'm involved with over 50 civic and professional associations. And every organization that's construction related, I'm involved in for at least 40 years of my 44 years of being in this industry. And when I walk in a room of the major associations, and I don't name, I can name them from ABC, AGC, CASF, Association of Builders, all of these different organizations nationally, and I'm the only person in that room that looks like me, that sign on the front of the check. And for years, I said, somebody should do something. And the spirit said, why don't you do something? And I ran for 10 years before creating an organization called the National Association for Black Women in Construction. And I'm doing that for girls who are yet unborn to know that there's a space and a place for them in this construction industry.
Wow. Girls unborn.
Pardon me?
You're saying girls unborn. So future.
Absolutely, the future. It goes back to Kevin's question about what does 92 look like? And
Yeah.
see, at 92, I want to look back on, 80, 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, and say, I did the best I could to create a space and a place for Black girls who don't see a future in the construction industry and as entrepreneurs or laborers or workers, because there's not been a space specifically for us.
Yeah.
And so, again, I serve on a lot of national boards of other organizations, but if I don't, and this is what the spirit is convicting me in, if I don't, who then? And if not, now when?
No, I suppose it's really sad because I don't know the precise number, but the black community in America, I might be wrong by a little bit here, but it's got to be about 20%, hasn't it? Maybe more. I don't know.
Well, it's
I don't know.
yes, probably somewhere around that. But again, I'm speaking in terms of construct. Think about this for both of you. Think about where can you go and work without a high school degree
Yeah, I get
and
that.
make 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, $90 an hour? Construction.
Construction. No.
Yeah.
I get that. Look, sorry, where I was driving with the percentage thing is that at some stage, I mean, don't take this the right way, but at some stage, these not just you, but other people who look like you, have got to grab hold of that baton and make it work so there's more people like you. I mean, it's not just.
Graham, Graham, I told Graham, I totally agree with that. But guess what? Just like we've talked about the 100 days, if we don't bring that cookie jar off the top shelf and bring it down to a level that any and everybody can reach it. You see, major part of my outreach to elementary, junior high school girls to begin to show people like myself and what we do. You don't have to wear a hard hat. You can wear a suit and heels to work in the construction industry every day. Now, I can't look outside of myself and expect other people to do what I can do, because then, and I did do that for many years, because I kept saying, why don't somebody should do something? But nothing happened. And so the spirit convicted me and said, why don't you do something? And I still ran for 10 years before I succumbed, surrendered and said, okay, I'll do something. But it's a small
There's a
decision.
phrase you've used a couple of times there. The spirit convicted me. Now,
Yes.
that's talking very much of purpose, having a very, very clear thing that you've got to deliver. Okay? You've got a mandate, effectively. Now, you go wind back to the beginning of the conversation as well, though. You started off by saying, well, a lot of what I do, we sort of start with money. How much do I want to make? Isn't there a dichotomy there, that one side you started to talk with money, the other side you started to talk with purpose. How do those two things fit together?
They're the same. Let me share with you why.
Okay.
I can have the largest heart and desire to do good. How much good am I going to do when I'm broke and broken, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and financially? And so, one of the reasons why I teach what I do in terms of mindset before skill set is that a broken-minded person, they can't receive what I'm saying and sharing. And so for me, it's a spiritual experience in understanding self first, but not only who you are, but whose you are. And this is not a spiritual, churchy conversation, denominational, nothing like that. But I on a daily basis, I do what I call a daily, I have a daily date with myself every day, 7 days a week, where I make deposits by journaling and reading, meditating, and all of these things every single day before people start making withdrawals. And so, coming back to your questions, it is purpose driven, but I must have money in order to accelerate the purpose.
I mean, I can see why people. I can see why you're magnetic. I can see why people are magnetized towards you, and it's because you've got all those things going: this, the purpose, the faith, the mental attitude that you're there to serve other people. And I love that, by the way. Just think that makes you incredibly special. But the point is, I'm still glass half, not quite full, because I see the world around us, and we don't need to talk about specifics, but there's been some terrible things that have been happening in your country and around the world. And there's part of me that thinks somehow it's people like you that can bring the future of the world into a different place, something that's more forgiving, something that's more, it's there for everybody. Just because of the color of your skin, what you were born with, does not mean to say that you get all the great shakes. And I just hope somehow that we can bring something like that together, whether it's my Indian colleague or whether it's somebody in your construction group or whatever it is. I'm dedicated to my colleague for her to do well, completely dedicated. I'm old enough to be a granddad, but the thing about it is that I want her success, because well, it makes me a bit richer as well. But that's another story. But the point is, there's something. You've got a massive task, and there's something that when you face some of these issues, it seems to me that the too many people I can't do anything because of what I look like. Fat, bald, and all that. Whatever, whatever excuse you come up with with the way in which you look, overweight, diabetic, got them all. Look, I've got the proper lucky bag of bad health, but the point is, I'm still turning up every day to trying to improve what I'm trying to do in my own little way. And, is there the motivation enough with the people in your sphere? Is there enough motivation? Do they start with enough? What about schools? Do they churn them to a level that when they present to you, they're going to snap your hand off? Or are they defeated before they even try? Sorry, I'm not sure. I'm sure there's a question in there, but the point is, I think there's a sense of defeatism, I think. And I hate that in people, and I want people to be different from what they are. I don't want to talk about specifics. We all know what I'm talking about, but the point is, it really, really defeats me. It just does.
I think we attract not what we want, but and we've all heard this, but who we are. And so for me, actually, just as this morning, my daily prayer is for family, friend, and foe. And so the folk keep us on our knees. If it was all, well, then you don't grow muscles. You don't grow the muscles that build character, you see. And so I take what small part that I'm given, and I do the very best I can with that. And that starts with me every single day, just being the very best I can. Well, it's not always that way. And that's why it's a process and it's a journey and it's not a destination. And I'm very clear about that. And so by setting different goals in different areas of my life, small goals, like we talked about the quarter, the 90 days, but and you're not gonna, I don't always hit them, but for the mere fact that they're there, I'm on a project in construction in Miami at the airport that I went after it for 30 years, 30 years. And right in about the 30th year, I was able to win that project. And so I say that because, again, in the beginning of this journey, whether it's entrepreneurship, or just life in general, I think that when we know it is the long, take the 100 days, one quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, it's a year. And now we start all over again. And going back to a comment that I think it might have been Kevin.
Probably was if it was a smart one.
And just when you talk about the strategy and the growth and the change that we must go through, I keep coming back to this idea of accountability. That's what we do in our mastermind groups, small groups. Accountability in the 100 days, who's holding you accountable? Is it a coach? Is it a consultant? But just being able to do just a little, Graham and Kevin, with whatever your hands have been given to do.
What's if okay, we're almost out of time, but I want to ask
Oh,
the,
really?
no, honestly, we could go on forever, but no, we can't. I've got a hard stop in a few minutes. So what I wanted to ask you is in we've kind of covered it in a little way, but if you had a single wish and you could wave that magic wand, none of this kind of it just go wave that magic wand. I want this to be true. What would be on that wish piece of paper?
It would be the title to the book that I just wrote, entitled "You Must Have a Dream to Have a Dream Come True." And as simple as it sounds, sometimes we get lost in the journey and forget.
If you're going to manifest something, create something, you have got to know what it is you're creating, and it must be something that you really want.
And on that note, and I'm conscious of time, I want to say, Anne McNeil, thank you for being a brilliant, thought-provoking, and an extremely successful guest on the Next 100 Days podcast.
So, Graham, that was thought-provoking. I think we ended it by saying you must have a dream to have a dream come true. And I challenge anybody listening to this to say, what is your dream? Can you write it down on a piece of paper?
Yeah, can you even think about it? Yeah, you're absolutely right. Anne is absolutely right, and she's built, shall we say, this coaching, mastermind, this mentoring, this I don't know, thought leadership on the on a book she read back in 1979. You know, I mean, I was one of my first jobs then, and it was an interesting role, but I have to say, gotta say, that was a very, very interesting podcast because I think she represents so many people, and I genuinely think she's making a big difference. I'd just love to replicate her so more people can make a difference.
And Anne mentioned something in the middle of there that is absolutely core to my own values. You know, I do what I want, when I want, where I want, with who I want, if I want. That is absolutely the core of what you've got to get to. That's freedom. First heard that expression when we talked to John Lamerton, when we were talking about his book Routine Machine,
Yeah,
and
but
that had nothing to do with retirement.
John likes the easy life, doesn't he? Let's face it. He lives down in there, Devon, doesn't he? So he just has an easy life. A Cornish pasty for lunch, and a nice Devon ice cream for tea. He's what a
That's the definition now of retirement, a Cornish pasty for lunch and a Devon ice cream for tea.
There you are. Okay. Well, on that interesting end, I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.